are. Good morning. Welcome. So glad that you are here today, whether you are in this room or whether you are over in the chapel for communion. First thing I want to ask, because we've got people standing back here, if you have an empty seat, could you just slide in right now, just sort of scoot your bottom in and just go one over so that they can see some seats and get about 20 or 25 people places to sit. That would be awesome. You guys are throwing us curveballs. It was supposed to be spring break and our numbers are supposed to be, so we're like, well, we'll just go in one room, and then you throw us a curveball. Nobody goes out of town, so we're glad that you're here. But I know that some of you are out of town, and travel blessings on you if you're traveling for spring break. Well, I've been excited for today for two reasons. The first is because we had a great start last week on this series that we're doing in Lent. If you weren't here, we opened up the conversation of revival and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and just looked at different times throughout history that God has done it. And just imagine, what if God would do that in Houston? And we're part of several hundred churches. I told you last week, we're praying, God, would you bring an outpouring of your Spirit? Would you just do something amazing in our lifetime? And so we're going to continue that. The second reason that I'm excited is because I've been eager to introduce you to our preacher of the day. He is the co-pastor of the Eden Church downtown. You know the other co-pastor, Jared Darby, because he's preached here several times, and you love him, and you're going to love Abraham. His last name is Guajardo. He gave me about 15 minutes of coaching on that beforehand. So, and he's so gifted, and you're going to see that for yourself. The Lord worked in the first service. I know he's going to work again in our hearts. So why don't you welcome Abe as he comes to bring God's word to us now.
Thanks, man. Incredible. Welcome to church this morning. How do you feel? You feel good? 11 a.m. Who's gone to the rodeo? A couple of us in here today. Well, I'll tell you what, you just walked into something way better than the rodeo. You walked into church, to the house of God. It's why you feel the way you do. Reba couldn't even do that. Hey, I want to honor your pastor. Seriously, before we give him a hand, I'm telling you, if you are considering making this your church, I'm telling you now, make it your home church. There's nothing like a man who says yes to God year after year. Many years ago, he said yes, and today he also said yes. To pastor you, to serve you, to lead you, to correct you, right? No one likes correction, that's right. But he has said yes to the call of God on his life today, not just many years ago. So can we, for a moment, just honor him and thank God for his life? Thank you, Jesus. I'm a pastor's kid, and I never understood why someone would choose to serve people and pastor people. There's two things that I remember thinking. One of them is, surely they're called, but they're definitely crazy. And I realized quickly that they are both called and crazy. Actually, my mom and dad are here. They've been pastoring for now over 40 years, my age, married for 50 years. They're here in the front row. And thank you, Mom and Dad. They stopped in before they go and still pastor their church there in Northside, Houston. But like Pastor said, my name is Abraham, and I am the other half of Jared Darby. Some of you know Jared. He's preached here a couple times, and he's my other half because my better half is my wife. And some of you know Jared Darby. I think we have a picture of him. You know, I needed to show you a picture because I know we look alike, you know, black, white. I just wanted to make sure you didn't get confused on who was who at Eden Church, you know? But man, I love that guy. That's my brother. And so glad to be with you today. They're in downtown Houston right now. So if you ever think of Eden Church, just add us to your prayer list, and just know that we are there serving the city like never before. We're excited to do that. My wife sends her greetings all the way from downtown Houston as well. I've been married for going on 11 years. I have three beautiful babies. Zion Houston, who we believe will be the mayor of Houston one day. Zoe Eden, who will be a Latina housewife. And Anastasia, she's not smiling there, but typically she's smiling. She's a very charismatic baby. Everyone carries her at the church. We believe she's going to be in ministry. And those are my babies. And my wife, Alina, who is from Russia, born and raised in Crimea, moved to the States due to religious persecution. Her grandfather spent 30 years in prison because he decided to follow Christ. And they now, obviously, her family are here in the States. And we met in Bible school, and the rest is history. And my dad is from a small town in Mexico called China. You can Google it later, but I know, it's confusing. China, Mexico, and my mom is Texan. Any Texans in the house? And that makes me confused. Last week, Pastor Ken talked about what does it mean to have the heart of revival. And if you missed it, I would encourage you to go back and watch it. It's an incredible message. I'm telling you right now, we're talking about revival. We're going to give you elements of what we've seen historically when it comes to revival. However, you are living in a revival right now. For people to choose to come to church today and hear from the Word of God is a big deal. Look around you. That doesn't happen. That's not just normal. Can I tell you that God is doing something incredible in this house, in this church? And I thank you and I honor you and I commend you for making time. You could have done anything else this morning, yet you decided to come and hear, sing song to Jesus, and then hear from the Word. And man, I'm telling you what, you can't go wrong with those elements. But just really quickly, last week, Pastor talked about these five elements. One of them was conviction and repentance of sin. The second one is the rekindled passion for Jesus and gospel expansion. The third one was the palpable presence of the Holy Spirit. Fourth one was persistent prayer. And the fifth one was community impact on the church and society. We see that revival is simply a spiritual reawakening in the life of the believer or community of believers. But it's easy for you guys because you're currently experiencing that. But I tell you what, us pastoring in downtown Houston, and it's not an easy task. In 2022, Houston was considered the number one crime rate in Houston, in the nation. We surpassed Chicago. Not a good stat to have. And that's when we felt that we needed to serve the Houston area like never before, downtown Houston. And we're there. We've been there for about 6 months now. And it's been interesting. You can imagine it's downtown Houston, Texas. And we preach in the middle of a mall. It's called Post. It's the former post office that they essentially remodeled and made a venue. And it's just, imagine this, as I'm preaching, there's hundreds of people that don't believe that are walking through that facility, and they go to the food court, and some of them end up sitting down, and some of them end up accepting the call to follow Jesus, and it's the wildest thing I've ever been a part of in my life. I grew up in the church, and I'm telling you, this is the wildest thing I've ever been a part of, and for me, it feels like revival. For people to find Jesus in the middle of a mall sounds crazy. People are finding, I was telling Pastor Ken earlier, there's a security guard that works there at Post, and she continually walks the premises when we're there, and one day she just comes up for prayer and says, I know I'm at work, but like, I want to hear about this Jesus you guys keep telling me about, and I think I want to accept him, and she ends up accepting Christ, and she's now in our discipleship pathway, going through fundamentals. Thank you, Jesus. I tell you that story because that never would have happened anywhere else. It's beautiful that God would trust us with that. Well, the year was 2020, and I was 2 years old. I was 2 years in to my youth pastor task. I grew up a pastor's kid, but I ran really far from ministry. Like I told you earlier, who would choose that? Only crazy people. To be able to serve people well, love them well, respond to them at the hospital when they're sick, baptize their children, and do all these incredible things only for one day you to get upset of something said wrong, something done wrong, unintentionally, or whatever the case may be. Who would want to choose that? Not me. I saw mom and dad go through it for so long that I said, I'm good. That's y'all. That's not me. And here I was in my first task, in full-time ministry, 2 years in, right before that, I studied to be in social work, and then after that, I became a police officer. I had to bring a photo for you guys to see because that's me, believe it or not. Why are you guys laughing? And did that for a year and hated it. And I wanted to protect and serve, only to find out that I was called to protect, serve, and lead and pastor people as well. And here I was, and in my youth pastor role, I was fresh, getting paid the lowest money I've ever made, Pastor Ken, but I was excited. I was doing the will of God and so stoked. And I just said, all right, God, I'm here. Whatever you want to do with me, I'm going to allow you to do it. And I got a phone call, November 2020. At this point, we've gone through a lot as a nation, as a city, and it's the pandemic, so everybody's been either at their homes or just walking around their neighborhoods, but not really, you know, hanging out with many people. And I get a phone call from a band called Maverick City. And at the time, I don't know who they were. I knew they were big online, but they had just been coming out. Now, this was pre-drama, pre-Grammys. I'm just giving you some heads up there before you start judging me already. And I get a phone call from them, and they said, hey, we're looking for a warehouse in West Houston. Can we borrow your warehouse? I said, absolutely. So what do you guys do? Well, we lead worship out in the open, and we're just going to come with our piano and our mics, and it's going to be out, and it's just going to be... I said, cool, sounds easy enough. Sure, our kids haven't done much this year. That sounds like an incredible idea. And I thought to myself, my little 50-member youth group's going to come out, and we're going to have an incredible worship night out in the open, spread out, and it's going to be an incredible time. Well, the day came where the setup was happening, and they bring their little piano, and they got their mic set up, and then that was it, a little speaker. And then 2 hours before, 50 people showed up. And then within the next 30 minutes, 100, 200, 300, 400. Now there's a line of over 700 youth ready to worship Jesus in West Houston. I'm thinking, I'm going to get fired. In the middle of the pandemic. Can you believe it? And it was a beautiful time. We sang worship to Jesus outside of a warehouse in West Houston, and it was beautiful. I thought, man, we've been praying for revival, but we didn't think it would have looked like this in the middle of the pandemic. And are we even supposed to be this close to each other? Like, some people agree with this, some people don't. It was just a weird time, but yet there was hundreds of youth saying, here's my life. And there was hundreds of youth saying, I don't know what's happening, but if it looks like this, I want it. If it's out of the box, I want it. And the next day, I remember I showed up to church, and one of the staff members said, I'm tired of you. You're always pushing the envelope. You're always doing things that are a little bit too much. And I just felt like this holy conviction, not to disrespect the person, but I had seen the faces of the youth. I had heard the stories of them saying, I'm returning, not to religion, but to Christ. And that empowered me, and I was fired up. And I said, if you tame that fire, if you take out that flame, you will be responsible for those youth. And from then, I've been on a journey to be able to recognize and tell people and remind them that revival is not coming, revival is here. Look around you. Look awkwardly at your neighbor in the eye and tell them, revival is here. God wants to restore our land and bring revival, but it will require repentance. In a moment, we're about to read from Psalm 51. By the way, if you need a Bible, we have some of our ushers here that can give you one. So just raise your hand and they can pass out one of those Bibles to you. I want to talk to you about being restored through repentance. What it means to be restored through repentance. We see in Scripture a man by the name of David, a man known as the shepherd turned king. One who defeated lions and giants. He was a hero. But the same David, the giant slayer, finds himself at an all-time low. I don't know about you or who's in here today that's feeling at an all-time low. This might be for you. After being unfaithful to his wife and committing adultery with Bathsheba, he goes even further by arranging the death of her husband, Uriah. That's right, the David we sing about. I'll dance like David, dance the murder. This is the David we sing about. And how can this be the same man? How does one go from the heights of victory to the depths of sin and despair? In this moment, when David hits rock bottom, we find that in Psalm 51, there's a cry for mercy and restoration. So let's go there in our Bibles. If not, it'll be up on the screen here. Psalm 51, 1 through 4 says this: "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgressions. And my sin is ever before me. Against you, and you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Lord, we thank you. We love you. What a privilege it was to just sing to you. What a privilege it is to just come and center our mind, our hearts, our emotions, and submit them to you. Would you be with us today as we read your word? Let these words not return void, God. Thank you for what you're doing in the hearts and what you've already done. We believe healing has already happened through the melody that we sang. We believe healing has already happened through the smile that was received. We believe healing has already happened through a hug that was had today. We thank you for using it all. And it's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen and amen. There is two things that stand out to me in this passage. The first one is confession. If you're writing notes down, write confession, which is acknowledging our sin before God. That's all it really is. Although David could have apologized to everyone else and said, I'm sorry, what he needed to do was confess and say, God, first of all, I sinned against you, my creator. Confession. And then the second thing we see is repentance, which is turning away from that sin and turning toward God in obedience. My friend, I don't know what you walked in with today, but hear me, confession and repentance are pretty solid ingredients for personal revival to take place. Although we want people to turn away from their sin and turn to God, we must remember we have to continually turn away from sin and turn to God. What we see here is David saying, God, I failed you. How did I get so far away from this? How did I get to a point where I lost the joy, where I lost getting low and saying, I was only a shepherd boy. What happened? He became a professional Christian. He had a lot of victories. He was the king. He was a big shot now. And everyone respected him. And he got comfortable. I don't know if you've been in this church for a long time or how long you've been a Christian, but we need to be careful to not become professional Christians. I know you're brilliant. I know you're smart. I know you got revelation. I know you can outdo anybody in Bible study. Calm down. God sees a man that's after his own heart. Some of us in here today feel like, well, only if people knew what I actually have done. Matter of fact, only if people knew what I currently am experiencing at my house, or what I'm addicted to last night, or the things I wasn't supposed to do or think about this morning I still thought about. And you feel as distant away from God, and all God is saying is, can you have confession and repentance? Can you? Incredible. Here we are today. I don't know what you walked in with today, but it's time that we return to Jesus. And for some of us in here, you might be your first time in church or first couple times in church. You were forced here, or you were brought here and dragged here to church, but you came in, someone tricked you and said, hey, it's kind of like the rodeo. You know, they sing a little bit, a guy screams for a little bit. They have donuts. But you made it, so welcome. Repentance means that we turn away from sin and turn toward the God who loves us. We turn away from the things that destroy us, is what Tim Keller says, and turn toward the one who saves us. You know, I grew up in the church, and I'm a pastor's kid, and I never really did anything crazy, but I also felt far from God. I was a drummer and played the songs and lifted my hands and sang the thing and felt like I was clocking in and clocking out, did the checklist item, and it was great. It was good because I wasn't a bad person. What I figured out is it felt like God was more of a grandfather than my father. It felt like it was like me listening to what God does for my parents than what he did for me. And for a lot of us, we have actually kept God as a grandfather and actually invited him in to become our father. Because grandma, grandpa, maybe someone of old has told you, hey, well, God is good, just, you know, pray. And you've kept him at a distance. And even though I was in the church, I was keeping him at a distance. And all it took for this pastor's kid growing up in the church, not doing anything crazy, was a bad breakup. Someone say, aw. Thank you, guys. Wow. Had a bad breakup. There was a girl I was dating from Laredo, Texas. By the way, Pastor Ken, in first service, I said nothing good can come out of Laredo, Texas. I take that back because someone came up to me and said, actually, I'm from Laredo, Texas, and I am your cousin. And her last name is Guajardo. That was first service. Forgive me. But I was dating this girl from Laredo, and one day she called me and said, I'm done. I don't want to be with you anymore. And I'm like, what happened? What did I do? She's like, I'm done. I don't want to talk to you anymore. And I got to a place of just feeling lonely. And I remember telling my mom and dad, oh, it just broke my heart. And that's all it took for me to be able to say, God, clearly I was putting my trust in someone else other than you. I don't know what it took for you. Your story might be way more extreme than mine. For me, it was a bad breakup. For you, it might be a loss of someone. For you, it might be something different. But can I tell you that God is waiting for us to return home? Our home is found in him every single day. Repentance means that we turn away from the sin. And David, we see that he returns and says, God, I am here. I'm sorry. I got distracted. And David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord has also put away your sin. You shall not die. Some of you feel, because of the shame and the guilt that you have from things that happened to you as a child or things that you're currently experiencing, that you will die. I'll go even further to say you feel dead. You feel like you're just going through the motions, just going to work, just going to church, barely getting by as a father, barely getting by as a mother. Can I tell you that's a lie of the enemy? The distraction that has come into your life to fool you and tell you, no, you'll never be good enough. You'll never be able to work your way up to God. Well, I have good news for you. Jesus came down for us. We don't have to climb a ladder. He climbed down and said, here I am. How scandalous is that? Are you sure? I'm positive. It's been thousands of years and it's proven. God is here to remind us that we aren't too far to say, I need to turn around. I got too distracted. I was just casual about my attendance. I was casual about my finances. I was casual about these things. And God is saying, would you come home? Would you turn away? David was a man after God's own heart. 1 Samuel 13:14 is where we see that. And yet he sinned gravely. His story illustrates the journey from failure to forgiveness and from guilt to grace. I pray that you would replace that. If you're feeling guilt today, that you would replace it with God's grace. That if you're feeling failure, that you would remember that you are forgiven. After David sinned with Bathsheba and the murder of Uriah, the prophet Nathan confronted him. This led David to face the reality of his sin. Some of us today have to face the reality of our sin. In a moment, we're going to open up the altar. We'll have prayer partners here. And you don't have to rush out of here. But what you can do is get out of your seat and say, I need Jesus. I need forgiveness. If you're writing notes, the first one is confession is the first step towards restoration. We must confess and say, I have failed against God. I believe one of the greatest reasons we seem to fall short is because of the pride that gets in the way of confession. Man, if people find out. Man, if they only knew. Man, what's going to happen? What's going to happen is your soul is distant from its creator. You're not doing good. You're not. I know your business is good, your bank account is well, and you're checking off all the list items that you can do, but your soul is far from the creator. It's time to step up and say, I confess, Jesus, I have sinned against you. I need restoration. Number two, repentance is turning away from sin. Those are the instructions today. It's time to turn away from sin. 2 Samuel 12, 13, and 14, I think it'll be on the screen. Then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against you, Lord. And Nathan replied, the Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to die. But because by doing this you have shown utter contempt for the Lord. True repentance isn't just sorrow for getting caught. It is deep desire to change direction, to turn away from sin and go towards God. Though there were still consequences for David's sin, the repentance brought God's forgiveness. J.C. Ryle says this, repentance is a change of mind which leads to a change of life. Our mind must be transformed by the thoughts that God has for us. Our mind must be renewed on a daily basis. And three, God's grace restores us and renews us. Psalm 51, 10, 12. Create in me. If we have it on the screen, I'd like to read it out all together as a church. Ready? Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Thank you, Jesus. After David's confession and repentance, he seeks restoration. David's prayer in Psalm 51 reveals the heart of someone who desires not only forgiveness, but a renewed relationship with God. Even though David's sin is serious, God's grace was greater. David's life and heart were restored because of God's mercy, and he was able to experience the joy of salvation once again. Some of you have forgotten the joy of your salvation. Remember when you didn't know that much about the Bible? And you were just grateful that you felt found? Remember that you weren't a professional Christian and you would ask Pastor Ken, when can I help with? Can I just clean? Can I just open the doors? Remember that? That's what I'm talking about. Restoring back to the foundation and the joy of your salvation and saying, God, I missed it. I missed it. I got so wise and so smart that I went away from you. It's time to get low. Sounds like a song, doesn't it? David's story, as I close out, warns us not to become complacent in our walk with God, especially when we feel secure or accomplished. Sin doesn't just creep in during times of weakness. It can come when we are comfortable, and in David's case, when he stayed home from battle instead of leading his people. Some of us are staying home too long. Some of us are in our little comfortable setting, staying home, not going out to battle. And let me tell you, the enemy is at battle every single day, even today on church day, even today as someone cut you off on the road and you wanted to give them some words that aren't that holy. He's working. That's what happens when we just get distracted a little bit and we lay down and say, well, God, I'm just going to get comfortable. I know what to do and I know how to do it. Let's not be complacent. Let's lead in the battle. I was working for a shelter home 6 years ago. And at this shelter home, we essentially were preparing to receive kids that any age from 10 years old all the way up to 17 years old that needed to be placed in foster care. And I started working there, and it was beautiful. Did social work there, and it was awesome. And they were very clear about the instructions on not imposing religion on any of them, because a lot of them have different types of religions that they choose, some Catholic, some Holy Death, which is a Mexican, Guatemalan kind of thing that they pray to. And there's a lot of different religions that they would tell you about these kids. It was just hard, because I'm like, man, I wish I could tell them about Jesus. I just couldn't. It was difficult. I remember one day I walked in, just because I was hearing their stories of feeling lonely and abandoned, and I'm like, if we could just get them to church, imagine the family that hugs them and welcomes them, kind of like here. You feel at home. I don't know any of you guys, and I feel like a cousin already. I'm like, imagine them feeling that feeling. Like, and then the word of God is being preached, and the songs are being sung. Like, can I just get them into the room? And it was this crazy idea that I had, and I went into the director's office and said, hey, can we bring some of the kids to my parents' church. And they were like, well, no, we can't bring the kids to your parents' church. That's weird. That's imposing religion on them. You can't do that. That's illegal. You and I would get fired. Sounds good. Went home and I read the manual on the policy, and in the policy it said the kids can go to outings. And at these outings, as long as there's food provided, security provided, and it's an air-conditioned space, it's not a scary place or anything. It's a place where they can have fun. They can go to an outing. Well, guess what I did? I walked back into the office and I said, hey, so I was wondering if we could take the kids to an outing. Oh, yeah? Tell me about the outing, Abe. Well, we show up. There's a lot of people. It's a building. And there's this guy who reads out of a book. But after that, we feed the kids. You know, because I was trying to, you know, entice them. And she said, are you talking about church? I said, I didn't say that. You did. It's a building with people. It's a safe space. There's security there. And someone's going to be reading out of a book, and it'll be a good time. And then they're going to feed them, remember? I told you they're going to feed them. And she said, Abe, you can get in a lot of trouble for this, and I can too. And I left it alone, and 2 weeks pass, and we're at my parents' church, and I see a group of staff come in, and I'm thinking, who are these men and women from the government? They had their little Amazon earpieces on. You know, that's professional. And behind them, hundreds of kids to fill my parents' church. I wanted to throw up. I went in the restroom and I thought, what did I do? I'm going to get fired. She's going to get fired. Now my parents are going to be in trouble with the government. Like, oh, what did I get myself into? And I pretended like everything was okay. I went back outside and said, hey, welcome, guys. Hey, everybody. So glad you're here at church. Can I tell you, for 6 years, statistically, the kids would act better and found families to adopt them because of mom and dad's church. Thousands of kids. Found restoration, but they needed an opportunity to repent. A lot of them had an idea of who God was, but in that moment, they had the gospel was presented, and hundreds would come to the altar and say, I want to repent. I need Jesus. For some of us today, Psalm 51 shows us the deep need for repentance and the gracious mercy of God. It points us to the gospel, the good news that Jesus has paid for our sins, offers us cleansing, and restores us to God's favor. If you're here today and you feel the weight of your sin, know that Jesus is the answer. He offers you his mercy, his forgiveness, and a fresh start. You don't need to hide from God. You can run to him just as David did and find full forgiveness in Jesus. If you've never truly repented and placed your trust in Christ, well, today is the day of salvation for you. You have the opportunity to come before God and say, God, have mercy on me. For those of you who already know Jesus, let Psalm 51 be a reminder that repentance is not a one-time event, but it's a lifestyle that brings us closer to God and transforms our hearts. Let us come before God with hearts that are humble, broken, and ready to be filled with his grace and mercy every day. Let's pray. God, we thank you. We celebrate your goodness in this room today. Thank you for the gift of Faith Bridge to Houston, Texas. Thank you for the gift of leadership that loves you and chooses to obey you every day. God, we thank you for those that are making the decision today to say, I want that Jesus he's talking about. I want to finally repent and surrender. God, I thank you that we get the opportunity today to respond and come and confess and repent and say, I'm ready to run the other way. I'm ready to make that turn and say, Jesus, my life, my future, my family, my finances, it's yours. It's always been a gift. Let us not forget that it's by your grace and mercy that we woke up this morning with breath in our lungs. We get to respond today in a way where we get to leave different than how we came in. We don't want to leave the same. This isn't just a building. These weren't just songs. Your spirit is here. It's transforming lives. And it's drawing us closer to you, Jesus. Would you be with us? Let's give the Holy Spirit time to speak to us. Spirit, thank you. God, we love you. Would you be glorified today through our yes? Would you be glorified through the moments where we get to choose to repent? We want restoration, but it'll come through repentance. And it's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.